Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Today that I have survived. Amen. I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Let that be your testimony on tonight, that you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, that no weapon formed against you could prosper. No matter what came against you, you can stand and declare, I'm still here. I'm still here. I survived. The devil came against me, but I'm still yet here, and I'm still alive. Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons coming to you with the Destined for Victory broadcast, and I tell you, it is a great day to be alive. God is good, and he truly is worthy to be praised. The Destined for Victory broadcast is a broadcast where we have a goal to bring awareness to molestation and also to stop molestation, to stop our children from being molested, and also to heal the impact, to heal the trauma of molestation. So I'm here every Tuesday night, normally at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we are here to make a difference in the lives of those who are trying to keep moving forward in spite of something horrible that may have happened in their lives. I have an announcement to make. I believe beginning next week, we're going to have a time change. We will be coming on at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time instead of the 10 o'clock hour. I have to adjust the time a little bit because I need to be trying to get to bed before midnight. So we will still be here on Tuesday nights, but just look for the time change. That the time will be changed. Let us open in prayer. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you. We magnify your name on tonight. God, we thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made, and we are rejoicing and being glad in it. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come and speak to those, Father God, who are dealing with the impact of molestation, dealing with the impact of having been touched, having been hurt by someone that they trusted. And, Lord, I just ask, Father God, that you will let your Holy Spirit rule and reign during this next 2 hours, oh God, that you will speak to our hearts, heal somebody, oh God, who is hurting on tonight, God. Somebody's hurting on tonight. Somebody, Father God, is trying to recover, oh God, from molestation. And I just ask, Father God, that you will put your hand upon each and every person that will come. And, Father God, minister hope, minister healing, minister wholeness. And it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior, that I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. I see you in the chat room, guest 10181 and Kimmy Poo. God bless you and welcome to the Destined for Victory broadcast. Tonight we want to talk about healing. How do I heal? How do I get over the fact that I've been hurt? How do I get over the fact that I have been betrayed by someone that I trusted, by someone that I loved? How do I get over the fact that someone has done something to me that has messed me up, totally messed me up, and I don't know how I'm going to come through this? I want to talk to you tonight about the power of forgiveness, the power of forgiveness. Last week, we had a guest. I had a guest, Evangelist Johanna Hoyler, and the woman of God came on, and she gave a testimony, a powerful testimony about being molested, about being raped, about being abused, and about being rejected by her own family, by members of her own family. And she gave that testimony, and she talked to us about forgiveness. At the end of the day, she was able to forgive those people that had hurt her so badly, and she didn't have any bitterness in her heart, no resentment. And if you missed it, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to the archives, because it was a powerful, powerful testimony of God's love and the power of forgiveness. So today I want to talk about forgiveness. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you, if you've been hurt by anyone, if you've gone through anything tragic in your life, if you've gone through any trauma in your life, if somebody has betrayed your trust, I want to encourage you today to begin to forgive. You know, forgiveness is so powerful. If you make up your mind to forgive somebody, then God will help you to forgive. Some people say, well, they don't deserve to be forgiven. After all they've done to me, they certainly do not deserve to be forgiven. But I want to tell you on tonight that even though that person does not deserve to be forgiven, you deserve to be free. Let me say that again. Even though the person that hurt you does not deserve to be forgiven, you deserve to be free. You deserve to be free from the bondage of bitterness, that root of bitterness that has taken place in your heart. You know, that every time you think about that person or what they did to you, you find yourself just really getting angry, you know, so angry that you could see red or purple or blue, that you begin to see colors. The thing is that you have to forgive the people that have hurt you, because if you don't forgive them, the longer that you hold this unforgiveness in your heart, the longer you're going to hold the pain in your heart from what they did to you. the longer that you stay mad at them, the longer that you stay angry with them, is the longer that it's going to take for you to heal from the hurt that was inflicted upon you by their actions. You have to forgive. Forgiveness is your way out. Forgiveness is the way that you get free. When you free yourself from that bitterness, when you free yourself, you say, you know what? I'm not going to allow this to take up space in my mind or in my heart anymore. I'm going to release this person. I'm going to forgive this person. I know they hurt me. They hurt me bad. I mean, how many of you out there have been hurt bad? I mean, you know that. You know, my God, you don't even know why you're still standing. You were hurt so badly that it could have killed you. You know, and some of you, our guest last week talked about wanting to commit suicide. You know, she talked about not even wanting to live anymore. And just as she was about to try to commit suicide, after several attempts, failed attempts, she got ready to jump off of a bridge. And she said the Lord held her back. The hands of the Lord literally held her back from jumping off of that bridge. And so many times we get devastated through life and we feel like, you know what, this is the worst thing that could have happened to me and I don't want to go on. But I thank God for Jesus tonight. I thank God for him giving us the power to go on. That's why you're still here. That thing was supposed to kill you. It was supposed to take you out. You were supposed to lose your mind. You were supposed to go crazy. But you, guess what? You didn't go crazy. You didn't die, and you're still here. And, you know, I often, when I give my testimony, I often say that the devil should have killed me when he had a chance because I'm still here. And now that I'm still here, I'm still yet alive. I will not shut up. I will not give stop. Giving God the glory. I will not stop telling people my testimony. I will not stop telling people how God helped me to make it through and how they too can make it through. I made it. You know, I made it. I was molested, you know, by somebody that I love and trusted. And I was a young girl, and I didn't think that I was going to be able to make it out of that low place that I found myself in after it all happened. You know, I found myself doing things that were not conducive to my personality because I was very shy, I was very quiet, I was an A student, and then all of a sudden I found myself, you know, hanging out and looking for love in all the wrong places, partying, and just traveling down a downward spiral. You know, just finding myself, and it went on and on until I was in my 30s, actually. And so one night I met a guy who told me about Jesus. And he told me the truth about Jesus because so many people had come to me and told me that I was going to hell, that I was a sinner, you know. And when I met this guy, he told me that God loves me, and he was so in love with Jesus. You know, it's something so refreshing about meeting somebody who's in love with Jesus. And this guy was so in love with Jesus that it really blew my mind, and it made me want to know his Jesus. So I got to did go to church with him, and upon entering into the church, this particular church, they were not talking about going to hell. They were not talking about me being a sinner. But they were talking about God's love, and they were talking about God's grace and God's forgiveness and how much God loves us. And that got my attention because, remember, I was looking for love, but I had been looking in all of the wrong places. So when I found out that God really loved me, that was the beginning of a new life for me. Then I was able to see myself as somebody. They told me that I was created in the image of God. That helped me so much, you know. And then when I got saved, God began to talk to me about forgiveness. Amen. He began, the preacher, God began to talk to me about forgiveness. And God began to say to me, you got to forgive. You have to forgive, because I had this anger in my heart. I had this coldness. I mean, I was so cold-hearted. If you know me today, you would say, I don't believe it. But I was so cold-hearted. I mean, my thing with men was to stroke them and kick them, stroke them and kick them. You know, I would make a man feel good, and then I would make him feel bad. You know, I would cut him down. I would kiss him, and then I would say something nasty to him with my mouth, you know, to cut him down and make him feel like he was less than a man, because a man had hurt me, and I figured that I was going to hurt every man, and I was going to make every man pay. every man that encountered me was going to pay for what had been done to me. And I went on like this for years. I mean, I was in relationships after relationship after relationship. After being in a relationship with a guy for 2 years, I began to act crazy to push him away because he was getting too close. And I didn't want him to get too close to me because I felt that if anybody got too close to me, they would see me. They would see the real me. They would see my pain. They would see my shame. They would see my guilt. And that they wouldn't want me. So I pushed people away. I didn't let anybody get close to me, and I kept this ice around my heart because I was protecting my heart. And in the process, I went through a lot of wrong relationships, amen. But like Kimmy Poo was saying in the chat room, I received God's grace. You know, God helped me. He healed me. He saved me. You know, he pulled me out of the pit. You know, so many times we don't give our testimony. We get saved and we get a title, we get a position in the church, and we don't want to give our testimony about how wretched we were before God found us. I'm telling you, amazing grace, how great the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. You know, I was all messed up. Molestation messed me up. It messed me up. You know, I would like to say that it was my parents fighting that messed me up, but no, that didn't quite do it. My mother and my father, they would fight. You know, my father would get drunk, and he would come home, and he would hit my mother, and my mother would hit him back because my mother was no chump. You know, she had her own pain, and she had her own anger. She had her own edge, and she would hit him back, and they would be rumbling around in the living room while I was in my bedroom sleeping. And my mom would wear shades. The next day she would have on dark shades. And I thought it was because mommy was trying to be cute, but mommy was really hiding her black eyes. She was hiding her black eyes. And, she, you know, but she couldn't hide her busted lip. You know, she couldn't hide the swollenness in her face when my dad had punched her, you know, and that, but that didn't quite mess me up. It was only when my molester began to molest me that I got messed up. You know, in my young mind, I couldn't understand how this thing was happening to me. And, you know, with molestation, it's strange because you feel like almost like it's your fault. You know, you blame yourself. You feel like I must have been too pretty or too fast or I must have asked for this somehow. Maybe I shouldn't have sat on daddy's lap, or maybe I should have shouted out or cried out. Maybe I should have said stop, or maybe I should have said no. But what you have to realize is that when you are a child, you can't put all of this stuff together in your young mind. In a child's mind is not equipped to handle molestation. A child's mind is not equipped to handle somebody touching you in the wrong way, or somebody showing you their private parts, or somebody showing you pornography, or somebody talking dirty to you. You know, a child's mind is not equipped to handle that. And in my young mind, I even though I wanted to be a big girl, even though I wanted to be brave and courageous, I was just a scared little girl, you know. And so many of us that listen to this broadcast and so many of us that are listening to the archives, we've been there. You know, so many of you have been there where you've been hurt and where you've been abused and you've been molested and you've been rejected and you don't know. You don't know how it happened. You know, you blame yourself. And I want to tell you today, like I told the listeners last week, and like I said, I say it every time I talk about molestation, I want to say if you were molested, if you were rejected, if your daddy wasn't around, if you were walked out on, if your parents were drug addicts, if something horrible happened to you in your childhood, it was not your fault. Let me say it again. It was not your fault. You know, God says he'll give you double for your trouble, double for your shame. And God is really interested in you being healed on tonight. He doesn't want you to continue to move forward with that bitterness, that resentment, and that shame. You have to forgive. You have to forgive. And I mean, I'm here to exhort you. I'm here to encourage you to forgive on tonight. I want to look into the chat rooms. I thank God for those of you on the phone lines, and I thank God for those of you in the chat room. But I do see some conversation going on in the chat room. God bless you, Cynthia, Evangelist Cynthia Robinson. God bless you to our guests, and God bless you to Kimmy Poo. Kimmy Poo is saying in the chat room that the longer you stay angry, the more power they have over you. The longer you stay angry, the more power those people that hurt you have over you. That's why you have to release the anger. And she said that you're still hurting. It means that they are still hurting you if you don't release them. It means that they are still hurting you if you don't release them. She said that the anger holds your progress to move forward with God. And that is so powerful. I never looked at it like that, Kimmy Pooh. That is so powerful that you are still giving the people that hurt you the power to continue to hurt you as long as you do not release them, as long as you do not release them by forgiving them. As long as you stay angry with them, they are still hurting you. That is so powerful. I could not have said it better. That is so powerful. That anger that you're holding allows the pain to continue. It allows the abuse to continue. It's like them abusing you over and over and over again as long as you allow them to take up residence in your heart through anger and through bitterness and through unforgiveness. So you have to release them. You have to forgive. And Evangelist Cynthia Robinson said, the power of forgiveness frees you from the hurt, shame, and disappointment of other people and lets you have the ability to move forward. That is, again, another powerful statement. When we forgive, we set ourselves free. When we forgive, we set ourselves free from the hurt, from the shame, and from the disappointment of those people who have hurt you. If you don't forgive, you continue a cycle of hurt, a cycle of abuse, a cycle of rejection, a cycle of pain, a cycle of shame, a cycle of guilt. It's time to break the cycle. Let me say it again. It's time to break the cycle. You know, some of you have been molested, and it's amazing because there are people who say that the church is not dealing with this issue of molestation. Well, I'm the church, and I'm dealing with this issue of molestation. We are the church, and together we are dealing with this issue of molestation. This is an ugly issue. So many people are being hurt by pedophiles. And again, I talked about that earlier. If you missed some of the earlier broadcasts, you can go back. A molester, the person who molests the most children is the pedophile. The person who molests the most children is the pedophile. And a pedophilia is a paraphilia, which is a sexual disorder where you find yourself, or that person who's a pedophile finds themselves attracted, sexually attracted to children. So what we have to do is identify the cause, and then we have to prevent this thing from continuing. So tonight, though, we're talking about forgiving. But as we're talking about forgiving, I want to say to you, some of you who have been molested, you're paranoid with your children. You don't want anybody to be around your children. You know, the problem I had when I got married, I married my husband and we had a baby girl. You know, it was so crazy that I did not want my husband to change my daughter's diaper. I didn't want him to change my daughter's pamper. I was, you know, I was so scared that he was, you know, going to be like my molester. And that he, you know, I mean, my husband is no child molester, but this is how the devil would get us caught up in fear to make us think that, you know, to make us paranoid. Now, we have to be careful with our children, and we have to be preventative, you know, making sure that we're doing everything that we can to prevent our children from being molested. But we cannot be paranoid. That's fear. And God has not given us the spirit of fear, but one of love, power, and a sound mind. So, you know, those of you who have children, be careful with your children. I had to be honest with my husband. He didn't know what was wrong with me. He just thought I was crazy. And I had to tell him that I had been molested. I had to tell him who my molester was. And this was something I had never told anybody. You know, I had so much shame. And I'm telling you that secrecy brings shame. I had so much shame. I didn't want anybody to know that this horrible thing had happened to me because I thought it was my fault. And that's why I'm telling you again, this is not your fault. If you've been molested, this is not your fault. And you have to realize that it's not your fault. So we're going to talk. I'm going to read a few more comments out of the chat room. And then we're going to talk a little bit more about forgiveness. Forgiveness, let me see here. I'm going to go back because there's some good things. Kimmy Poole said, God has something excellent for each and every one of us. Amen. And that goes back to say Jeremiah 29:11. God says he knows the plans that he has for us, plans to prosper us and not to harm us, plans to give us a hope and a future. He has thoughts of good and not of evil, thoughts to bring you to an expected end. And evangelist Cynthia Robinson says she remembers those days of being paranoid, of being having guilt and shame. She says forgiveness is the best deliverance. Amen. Kimmy Poole says, oh, God, how this child has been suffering. Protect the heart of your child. Release, release, release. It is not the child's fault. Show your child your grace, Holy Father. And she's praying. Shame, hurt, disgrace, pain. Your child is hurting. Hold them in your little arms. Amen. And evangelist Cynthia Robinson says, amen to that. Children are the victim, not the cause. And we have to remember that even if your child comes to you and says, somebody touched me, you have to respond correctly. Because if you go off and start yelling and screaming at your child, if you tell your child that they're lying, whether it's a boy or a girl, if you tell your child to shut up and never say that again, you are doing as much damage as the molester. You are helping to carry forth the cycle. You're covering up a sin, a crime. It is a crime. Child molestation is a crime. And you are helping that molester to go forth and molest other children. So we have to, you know, God forbid if it should happen to any of our children, but child molestation is so prevalent still in the earth. It's happening in the schools. It's happening on sports teams. It's happening in the church. It's happening in the home. Child molestation is so prevalent, and we cannot put our heads in the sand. We cannot bury our heads in the sand and act like it's not happening. We must, as evangelist Cynthia Robinson said in the chat room, we must break the cycle. We must break this curse off of our families. We must stop hiding the fact that men and women are touching kids, are molesting little kids. We got to stop it. We got to do something about it. It's a crime. We should be reporting it to the authorities. Child molesters should be reported to the authorities. Now, I don't believe that they should just be thrown in jail. I do believe that they should be punished for their crime. But I do believe that when they go to jail, that there should be treatment for pedophilia within the jail for every child molester. There should be treatment for pedophilia. There should be they should go through testing to see if they're pedophiles, to see if they're perverts, to see, you know, and a pervert, you know, I hate to use that word, but that's somebody who is they've oblivious to the harm that they cause to a child. And they're not necessarily a pedophile, but they're that antisocial person that I talked about before, that person that doesn't really care about the feelings of anyone. And that's a pervert, a crazy person. It's somebody who will cut off, will molest the child, kill the child, and cut the child up into little pieces. And that person needs to be diagnosed, and that person needs to be treated. Not just spend years in jail, 7, 8, 9, 10 years in jail, and then let back out to do the same thing over and over again. But that person and the pedophile, they need treatment while they're in jail. Amen. Kimmy Pooh says, this is the work of the devil. Be aware, but the cycle continues. Even with your husband. And she was listening to me give my testimony about not wanting my husband to change my daughter's diaper. My husband is not, I said it before, he's not a child molester. He's a man of God. But it was me. I had this fear. I had not been delivered. I had this fear on the inside of me that every man was a child molester, that every father was a child, had a tendency to be a child molester. So I was being like paranoid, extra careful. And you know what? I don't take it back. You know, I'm glad that I was that careful because, you know, I protected my child. Not that my husband would have done anything to her, but just, you know, I just feel better knowing that she is safe, you know. And sometimes we have to err on the side of protecting the child. Err on the side of protecting the child. Don't be too lax. Don't say, oh, he would never do that. Because let me say this. A lot of fathers are child molesters, and a lot of fathers molest their own children. I know we don't want to hear this, but it's the truth. It's the truth. Molesters, child molesters are not strangers. They're not people lurking on the street corners. They're not people hanging out in raincoats. Those are the people that expose themselves as exhibitionists. People who show themselves, who flashers. You know, they show their bodily parts. But a child molester is normally someone that you know. Is normally someone that's close to the family. It could be your brother. It could be your father, it could be your uncle, it could be your aunt, it could be the babysitter, it could be the preacher, it could be the deacon, it could be a brother or sister in the church. So we have to be very careful that we are not oblivious to the obvious. Amen. God bless you to the Stewards Guy. The Stewards Guy has logged into the chat room. And the Stewards Guy says, good evening. When this kind of thing is revealed in the church, they are ridiculed many times. How can there be healing? And that's an excellent question. The church, I don't believe that overall the church is prepared to deal with this issue of child molestation. It is my belief that the church has helped to cover up child molestation throughout the years. I believe it's a lack of knowledge. I believe it's a lack of understanding and a lack of willingness to look at something so ugly and begin to want to make a difference. I believe that there are a lot of people in the church who have been molested, like myself, who are standing up and recognizing that a lot of the ills of society come about as a result of molestation. A lot of things that we talk about in church, like we might want to preach against teenage pregnancy, or we might want to preach against drug use and alcohol abuse. We might want to preach against spousal abuse or unforgiveness. But what we have to realize is that there's a root to all of this behavior. There's a root to this. You know, there's a reason that teenage girl is out there looking for love in all of the wrong places. There's a reason that teenage boy feels that he has to prove his manhood. Maybe somebody touched her. Maybe somebody molested him. And they don't know what to do. When people come forward in the church or at home and they say, so-and-so molested me, there is such a heavy stigma. There's such negative reactions to this revelation of molestation that it really does more damage. Again, it does a lot of damage when somebody comes out, a child. Imagine a little child, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, however old that child is, coming saying, "Mommy, this person in the family is touching me." Or, "Mommy, my teacher showed himself to me." Or, my teacher grabbed my private part. Or, "Mommy, my coach took a shower with me." You know, or the pastor had oral sex with me. You know, imagine what happens when that child comes out and says something like that. First and foremost, the reaction is shock, total shock, that somebody could do something like that. I mean, it's hard to believe that an uncle or aunt or a father or a pastor or a coach or a teacher could have sex with a child that's a member of their family, or a child that has been entrusted to their care, or a child that's a member of the congregation. How could pastor have sex with a child? You know, how could pastor molest a little boy? You know, we first go into shock. The family goes into shock. The church community goes into shock. And then the next thing that comes, the steward's guide, as a answer to your question, is denial. Denial. You know, we go into denial. I don't know why we that happens. I think it's a refusal to unwillingness to face the truth, because the truth hurts. But the truth also shall make you free. Amen. And we have to be willing in the church and in our families to face the truth. We got to be able to face the truth and deal with the situation. So then comes denial. I don't want to deal with this. This didn't happen. Oh, no, this can't be happening. And then there comes the shame. Now the family does not want this to get out. So what do they say? Don't tell nobody. Keep it quiet. What happens in this house or what happens in this church stays in this house, stays in this church. Or, you know, what we're doing in the religious community is saying, well, pastor's still anointed. He can still preach. She can still preach. As long as they, you know, David sinned. And we're making excuses for the sin. We're making excuses for the molester. Now, I don't know if you heard me before, but I said this. One child molester can molest over 100 kids. You got to hear me. You got to hear me right now. One child molester can molest and will probably molest over 100 children if they are not stopped. We got to stop this. We got to stop the madness. Amen. And how can there be healing? We have to, in order for us to be healed, we have to face the truth, and we got to deal with this thing. If somebody is standing up saying, "I'm being molested," you know, I have to admit this. I have been in the church before years ago. I was young in the faith, and I wasn't delivered yet. But I've been in a church where there was a young girl, maybe 9 years old, 10 years old, sitting on her father's lap throughout the whole service, and I'm in the church. And that thing was driving me nuts, because there was an empty chair, and that girl could have sat anywhere else but on her father's lap. But because I had been molested, it drove me nuts, because I know one thing about men. Listen, women, and listen, men. Not saying that every man is a child molester. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that men, their sexual part, is a muscle, and that muscle reacts to stimulation. It reacts to movement. Amen. Men have no control over that. They don't. That's why I'm telling you, as far as your kids sleeping in the bed with you, if you have little girls, little boys, put them in their own bed. You know, they don't need to be sleeping with you and daddy. You know, it breaks my heart the way that we set things up, and we're doing it innocently. You know, it's so innocent. But that demon, let me tell you, that demon knows no boundaries. And that demon spirit can jump on anybody. I watched the movie the other night. Before I go into that, let me see what the steward's guide is saying. The steward's guide has made a comment in the chat room. And I thank God for you in the chat room who are participating in this broadcast on tonight. Amen. Because that's what it's about, us having a dialogue and talking about what's going on. And again, anytime you want to call in, you can call in 646-652-4832. I'll be more than happy to have you come on the line, come on the air with me. The steward's guide says one other point is that the offender is taken from the home. Especially being a man, there needs to be restoration on both parties. When the sin is exposed, the process of healing never begins, only constant addressing of the sin. Amen. Amen. I believe the steward's guide is saying that the offender should be taken from the home. I agree with that wholeheartedly. And again, there needs to be healing. In other words, go to counseling. If your mother and your daughter has come to you or your son has come to you and said something has happened, they have been molested, take your child to counseling. Go to counseling. Oh, another thing, don't call your child the liar. Don't tell your child that didn't happen. Believe your child. At least investigate what's going on. When you go to the molester is going to more likely than not lie and say they didn't do it. I have never heard a story where a child was molested and the molester told the truth and said, yes, I did it. If you know of a case, you let me know. But I have yet to meet somebody who has molested a child, and when they were confronted, they admitted that they did it. Most of the time they say, she's lying or he's lying. I remember being a witness to somebody that was molested by their stepfather, and she told her mother that her stepfather was molesting her, and her mother slapped her. And when the mother said, you're lying, don't say that about your father, who was her stepfather. And then when the child, when the mother confronted the molester in front of the child, the molester said, she's lying. I never did that. You know how fast she is. And the child had to pay for that. The child went through life paying for that. Amen. We have a couple of callers. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to put this call on the air. Area code 973. You have your hand raised. Tina Lane, God bless you. You're on the air.
God bless you, Pastor Rebecca.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. It's a pleasure to be listening to what you were saying, the different scenarios that you were speaking of. I have a friend of mine who was listening with me, and she's in the car, and she was just agreeing. She wanted me to add more money, me to let you know, to add that not only do men abuse, but like men may abuse a little girl, but sometimes you have to just watch the mother who may abuse a little boy.
Mm.
She said that happens many times when the mother is molesting the boy. It's not just and the male and the father is molesting the young girl, the daughter.
Amen.
Scenarios in that nature as well.
Well, thank you so much, and tell your friend I said thank you for putting that in, for adding that, because that is the truth. The pedophile, the child molester, is not only male. Is not only male. Although most child molesters, according to the statistics, they say that more child molesters are male, but there are also a whole lot of female child molesters, and they are parents. They are mothers molesting their own children. You know, and it's crazy, Tina. You know, it's crazy when you think about it. It's like you would think, what would make a mother, what would make a father want to molest their own child? And the answer is, it's a sickness. it is, you know, it literally is sick. It's a sickness. And again, not only mothers and fathers, but sisters and brothers. You have older brothers who will molest their siblings, and you have older sisters who will molest their siblings. So it's a vicious cycle. It is a curse. I believe that this is a curse that's passed out through the generations, and we have to bring awareness to it to begin to stop it. You know, my mission is to stop molestation, and if that caused me to talk until I'm blue in the face, then I'm going to talk until I'm blue in the face.
Right.
You guys have anything else to add?
No, I was going to say you're right, Pastor, because there's you have to bring awareness to it. And oftentimes it's not spoken about, it's not spoken in the home, because if a child does ask questions about different forms of molestation, no, we don't talk about that. That's for grown folks. You have to be the first person to have that conversation with your child to make sure your child knows what is the right touch and what is a bad touch.
Yeah, good point.
And it cannot be that we don't talk, you can't talk about that because you're not of age. We don't talk about that because that's not going to happen to you. It's all about educating and informing your child and educating your family as well. There's certain things, there's certain touches that should not be done by your teacher, by another parent, by your relative, your cousin, by your friend. I need to let you know. I want to educate you, but sometimes people don't want to have that conversation because it's uncomfortable for the parent. The parent tends not to have that conversation with the child. So if it's uncomfortable to me, I'm never going to have a conversation with my daughter or my son because I don't like talking about it, so I'm definitely not going to talk about it to them.
Amen. Amen. And it is uncomfortable. Even doing a broadcast like this, I mean, it's not fun. You know, I do Women to Women on Saturdays and at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that's easy, you know, because we women and we're talking about women's issues and the men come on, and we have a great time and we have a great dialogue. But to be up talking about child molestation and to do a broadcast just geared around this issue, it's not easy and it's not comfortable and it's not fun. But the thing about it is, if we don't do something about it, this thing, demon spirit is going to continue to run rampant through our families, and we need to have our eyes open. Another thing you talked about, Tina, and I see you call her, area code 908. I'm going to be putting you on the air. But another thing that you talked about is good touch and bad touch. And the thing about it is, when do you talk to your child about good touch and bad touch? I say 5 years old. You could begin to talk to your child about their private parts and teach them the names, the terms, you know, of their private parts, so that they could know that nobody is supposed to touch you there. Nobody's supposed to put their finger. No, nobody's supposed to touch you. And you got to make sure that you are teaching your kids. I wouldn't say nobody's supposed to put their finger there. I started to say that, but say nobody's supposed to touch you there. And because if you give a child too much information, then there's a tendency that the child can get angry and want to lash out and can begin to make stuff up. And why do I say that? I was watching, the Bill Cunningham show. I was watching, I believe it was the Bill Cunningham show, and there was a man on there who had been accused of molesting his son. And they said that he had molested his son. And this man was going up on charges because they turned him into the authorities. Now, come to find out, after they took the lie detector test, this man had not touched his son, but the mother-in-law, the son's mother's mother, had said the son the lie to say that his father had touched him. He told him to say that his father had molested him. And this family, and this is the second time I've seen it. I've seen it twice on these reality TV shows where there's a parent who's making the child lie to say that the other parent molested them. And if we're doing, you know, if we need to stop that, because that's nonsense. What do you think happens to the child when you put a child in that predicament, when you put a child in that situation to make that child lie and say somebody molested them when it really didn't happen? So we got to be wise. We have to use wisdom on what kind of a language we're using with our kids and how much information we're giving our kids. It has to be age specific. In other words, you have to know when your child is ready for what amount of information and how much to tell a child, you know, so that when your child comes to you, your child is coming to you and you're not wondering if your child is telling you the truth or if they're just going by something that they're making up. But a child will very rarely, unless they're coerced by an adult, a child will very rarely lie about having been molested. So that's a good point that you made about good touch and bad touch. That is an excellent, excellent point.
Thank you, Pastor. I don't know if you want to take the next call, but my friend, she said she did have a question for you.
Okay, yes, we're going to take her question.
Okay. Hi, Pastor Rebecca. My name is Andrea. I just wanted to really make a statement so that people are aware of this. When you have small children, you really need to pay attention to what potential molesters or molesters do, because I have been a victim of that myself. And I will say that I had a young child. My daughter, she's an adult now. But I remember when she was in maybe first or second grade, and she came home from school. I went to pick her up from school, and she came out eating candy. And I said to her, I said, where did you get the candy from? She said, oh, it was her gym teacher. She said, my teacher gave it to me. I said, really? I said, and who else received candy? She said, no one, just me. I said, just you? I said, wow, were you good? Was everyone bad? She said, no, he just gave me a piece of candy. And I said to her, I said, when you go back to school tomorrow, I want you to tell your teacher that he doesn't need to give you anything. Anything that you need, your parents can provide.
Yeah.
And I asked her the next day, did she say it? And she said, Mom, I told him that you said, don't give me any more candy, that you can give me everything I need. He never gave her candy again, and she was, you know, things changed. I made him aware that I was aware.
You have to make
your children speak out. Even though they may not be aware that they're making a stand, you can teach your children to make stands without them actually knowing. The adult will know they're making a stand. You know, the child doesn't realize that they're making a stand, but they really are.
And that is so powerful, Andrea. Thank you so much. I mean, that is so powerful because molesters, what they do is they groom children.
Exactly.
And they befriend children. Molesters do not hurt children. I mean, and physically. Their goal is not to hurt the child. Their goal is to seduce. It's sick. Their goal is to seduce the child. I mean, it's a seduction that takes place where they start giving the child candy, and even an older child might be given taken to a game or money, you know, and they start grooming the child and making the child indebted to them and endeared to them to the point where when they begin to touch the child, they make the child feel like they, you know, the child is doing something, doing them a favor now. Now you're doing me a favor. So you're right. We have to be conscious of what's going on with our children. Watch the behaviors of our children. Watch when our children come home with trinkets and with candy and with money that we know they shouldn't, we didn't give it to them. And just, be, like you said, teach our children to speak out. Because I did the same thing with my daughter 2 years ago. My daughter's 13. And when she was 11, she came home one day with a lollipop. And I said, where did you get that lollipop? And she said, the crossing guard. She said, he gave me and two of my friends lollipops. And she said, he's always offering us candy. I said, well, you, when you go back to school, I said, you tell that crossing guard that you cannot take any more candy from him and that your mother said for him not to give you any more candy. And he did. And he never gave her any more candy again. And that's what you're saying, that we have to empower our kids to speak out, to stand up and speak out.
And that, whether they know it or not, that sense of empowerment carries over for years. It's going to be with them for life. So you're training them.
Because
before they even realize they're being groomed, we've groomed them.
Yes. Yeah, because what they're learning through that, when you told your daughter to tell that gym teacher, look, mommy and daddy are going to give me everything I need, you were teaching her to say no. You were teaching her to say no to the perpetrator, you know, and she didn't even realize what was going on, but you trained her to say no. And that is so powerful that we teach our children, don't take favors. You don't have to take favors from teachers. But only those of us who have been molested could probably truly understand what we're saying.
Absolutely.
The
thing is that we want to keep our children innocent as long as we can, but we need to protect them as well so that they have a shield over them. Not only, you know, we know God is covering them, but we need to make certain that we cover them as well.
Yes. Because we have to cover.
Absolutely, because children just don't know. They are trusting by nature.
But they are. And our children, it's a thin line, though, when you look at it, because, again, your molester will come in the form of I don't know who your molester was, but it could be an uncle.
It was one of my friends. We went to stay the night. Over her mother and father were divorced or separated. I don't know. I was like 12, and for years he used to take us out, you know, to get ice cream and shakes and stuff. But it wasn't just me. It was a bunch of girls. Never realizing until it actually happened to me, he actually ripped the shades off my eyes, because then I saw what was happening to other girls. But I think that the young woman that was one of my good friends, her mother knew. Because I told my sister and my girlfriend, we were all in the same bed. He had no shame, because he came in here that night and tried it. And I woke up startled, scared to death. I thought it was a dream. And I looked over the side of the bed. There he was, telling me to be quiet. Shh, shh, shh. And I told him, and I didn't even tell my parents, but I was outspoken enough to tell him the next day. I was acting very disrespectful to him the next day because I was angry. And we were taught to respect our elders, to never disrespect them. So at this point, I was very disrespectful to him. And they was like, they were shocked. And I told them when we left, I told them that night because I tried to wake him up, but they thought it was a dream. And the next day, I was very disrespectful to him. And he said, I'm going to tell your father. I said, well, you're not the only one who has something to tell my father. And he said, well, I'm going to let you go this time. He said, I'm going to let you go this time. And I knew even at that young age not to tell my father. Because my father was from the South. He had license to carry a gun. And I was aware enough to know that my father would literally have killed that man. And I couldn't take it that far. But it never happened to me again because of that. But that changed the way I saw the world. The world was no longer a safe place. I didn't trust anyone. Because that sense was lost. And that sense of, you know, I mourn that sense of loss. Because I see children that are so free. And, you know, although my daughter was a very happy child, you know, I still had to make sure I questioned certain things when people were around her. Well, are you okay? Did anything happen? You know, but I tried to do it in a manner in which it wouldn't make her too aware, but aware enough to know what should be done and what shouldn't be done, what behaviors were allowable and what were not. So I just say this to caution the listeners that, you know, just stay in a state of awareness with your children, because we are the protectors and we are the only ones who can protect their innocence. And we need to be aware that it can come, as you said, in all forms. It could be anyone. That's all I have to say.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Wow. Powerful testimony. Thank you so much for sharing. Somebody said that this same program needs to be in the churches. And we do have to, we got to do platforms like this and forums like this, even in the church. And somebody wants to know how to stop it. You know, they said, we're doing, the question is, Kimmy Poo says, my question is, what can we really do about this painful issue? And Evangelist Cynthia Robinson in the chat room says, talk about it. It is the only way to deal with it. And she said, how can we help? Kimmy Poo said, how can we help the children coming behind us? And Evangelist Cynthia Robinson said, tell the story. They are not the first. And there's a program out there called Good Touch, Bad Touch. But together, we can stop it. And that's why I'm on a mission. That's why I founded the Destined for Victory organization, to stop molestation. I believe if we're educated about it, if we talk about it, if we stop acting like it doesn't exist, that we can do something about it. And I appreciate, Andrea, your testimony, because what you're saying is so powerful. Look, you're exposing the devil. You know, you're exposing this thing. Like, this was my girlfriend's father. I went to spend the night at her house. And then you talk about your own daughter, how you want to protect your daughter. And let me tell you again, you and I are just so kindred, because I took my daughter's 13 years old, and I took her for x-rays yesterday. And I wanted to go into the x-ray room with her, because she was going to go into the x-ray room. They told me I couldn't go in, so they told me to sit outside. So I waited. And when she came out, I said, well, how was it? She said, fine. I said, who x-rayed you? She said, it was a lady. I said, was she nice? She said, yeah. I said, everything was fine. She knew exactly what I was saying. She said, everything was fine. And it's okay to open up the dialogue and talk to your children and make sure that they know that you want them to be safe, that's your priority is for them to be safe. And I don't think there's anything wrong with being careful on the behalf of our children. So I commend you. I commend you, Andrea, for sharing your testimony and also for protecting your daughter. I commend you. God bless you.
You too, and I commend you as well, because I know how hard it is. My daughter's an adult now. She's doing well. She's in college. She's working. She's doing well. But I have to tell you that I was a single parent. So, and when I say single, I mean single in every sense. You just have to, as we spoke of, you have to be aware, you have to be vigilant, but don't go crazy just because you don't want to, you know what I'm saying? You don't want the child to be fearful of positive relationships, of communication and affection from normal people. You understand?
Yeah.
Because then you can give them a stigma, but you still have to be vigilant and be aware and make your children aware. There are things out there you can show them, like different movies that you said you saw, different movies. There are movies that are actually acceptable for children to see that, based on that particular movie, you'll be able to tell by their reaction if something has happened to them. So some parents who can't speak of it or that are uncomfortable may very well want to get videos. Reach out to different areas that have them. Get a video. Look at it with your child and see how your child reacts. You know, you may get a clue to something that's going on that you may not think that's going on. So, it's, you know, just be vigilant. That's all I can say.
Amen. Thank you so much. I just have one more question before I take this last caller, because we're talking about forgiveness. How did you forgive the person who molested you?
Forgive? You know what? I have to tell you, I saw him years later, and I think because I think he helped me to be more of an aggressive person because he made me more aware. I don't think I actually ever forgave him. I think it never crossed my mind to. And I may have forgiven him because I wasn't angry anymore, but I was aware. So I can't say consciously I forgave him. Maybe subconsciously I did, because years after, I mean, not even years after, maybe a week, month, or I don't know how long it was. You know, I saw him throughout the years, but he was very cautious around me. And I always was sarcastic whenever I saw him. But I saw him take advantage of other young girls. But at that time, again, it was don't ask, don't tell. And I saw young girls that became young women that came to him, and he changed the way he did business in the sense that instead of candy or food, he was giving money to needy girls. See, another thing which people have to realize, again, if someone is giving your child money, you know, he's buying them gifts. Like you said earlier, it could be anything. When young girls are in need, they may go to someone that they think is just helping them out, giving them a little change. Because, again, as I said, even before then, and I'm sorry if I'm backtracking a little bit, I remember this man, I was a young girl, because, again, I'm 40-something years old. My, when I was about 10, I think, I went across the street to the store, and one of the guys that worked there, who was probably trying to make me out, you know, trying to, you know, looking out for his next victim, handed me $2. And I went home, and I said, Daddy, look what Gene gave me. His name was Mr. Gene. Look what he gave me. My father said, what? He went across the street. It was a liquor store, candy store. And we should never be together anyway, in my opinion. It was a liquor store, candy store. He gave me $2. And back in the day, you know, I'm talking about growing up in the 70s, you're looking at someone here, $2, you're happy. You could buy the world with $2 as a child. But my father, I was so upset because my father went over there. He made sure he had his pistol in his belt. And he said, he cut this man out, and he told him, don't give my child anything. Anything she needs is from me. And he told me, he took me with him. He said, give him back those $2. He made me give it back to him. And he said, you see this child? When you see her, you don't speak to her, and you give her nothing. So I think, like I said, knowing that's when I realized my father was a dangerous man because he would really do it. But I was old enough to know that, I mean, I was aware enough to know that if he died and went to jail, it would change our whole lifestyle. So, again, you know, I think, and as far as forgiveness, I think I just subconsciously did it. I don't think consciously I did it because I was able to move on. But, you know, if he served a purpose in my life for whatever reason, maybe it's to give testimonial today, I don't know, and to watch out for other children, I don't know. But I know it served a purpose in my life.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
If you don't find yourself angry, you're not bitter and angry with him or the other. Yeah.
No, I think because, it made me aware of it. And I think that when these things happen, if you're surrounded by strong people or family that love you, you can kind of work through it. And my thing, I'm a talker, and I'm able to speak to my family. I've always spoke openly about things that happened to me. Maybe that's why I wasn't hardened by it. You understand? It didn't harden me to take me away because I've openly spoken it since I was a child. Somebody said, I said, that happened to me, and you should look out for this. So I never spoke to my parents about it, but my friends and coworkers, like people who spoke to me, we happened to be in the middle of a conversation, people I trusted, I would actually speak out on it. So I would, I don't know. I can't say consciously.
So you've always been very vocal about what was going on around you, and that's a blessing right there. So you didn't hold it in. You know, you didn't hold it in. You were able to just process it and keep it moving and use it to your benefit, you know, as you're doing now to bring awareness to other people. So I just thank you so much for letting your voice be heard tonight on the Justice for Victory broadcast as we were talking about this. I thank you so much for calling in.
Well, no problem. Believe me, I had no intention of speaking, but, of course, with Tina here, you never know what's going to come out.
Amen. Well, thank God for both you and Tina. God bless you both. Okay. Wow. Well, we're going to take this other caller who's been patiently waiting, and I thank God for Andrea, and I thank God for Tina, who shared on tonight. Area code 908, you're on the air. Welcome to the Destined for Victory broadcast, and thank you so much for waiting.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Rebecca. It's Evangelist Cynthia.
Oh, God bless you, Evangelist Cynthia. Yes, I'll tell you, it's quite interesting the way the Lord is moving on tonight.
Yes, he is.
We waited patiently. So what's going on?
As I was listening and when I saw what you were going to be talking about tonight, forgiveness, and for me right now, I'm going through a domestic violence training program. And today, oddly enough, we were talking about child abuse and talking about molestation. So it, and then to be talking about it now, it's like everything I had learned today about the grooming, how they groom, and to be very careful, the nicest person in the neighborhood, which is something I learned a long time ago, the nicest guy in the neighborhood a lot of times is the child molester, the guy that, you know, everybody wants to go hang out with, all the kids want, more than likely is the child molester. And so just, you know, just hearing this is just reassuring me that some of the things that I have been through, and having a father who was a pedophile, convicted pedophile, what my sister went through, what our family went through, and learning how to forgive and let go so that you can go and help someone else. I just think it's so important that people realize that forgiveness frees you. It really just gives you such an air of God. You get free. You don't no longer have to live in the shame, the hurt, the pain, the disappointment, the disrespect, the anger and the rage. You don't have to live in that. But God will give you a freedom that you may, at the time as you're going through the process of forgiveness, because forgiveness doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah.
It takes a while to forgive somebody and then to forgive yourself. Because when you talk about children, children internalized it. They did something that made this person touch me.
Right. Right.
It's not like a grown woman who is walking down the street and somebody raped her. She doesn't internalize that as it was something I did. She realized that this guy, you know, raped me. But a child doesn't see it that way. That child sees it as, it must have been something I said, something I did. Why was it only me? They don't realize that it could actually be every single kid in the neighborhood has been raped by the same person. But it happened to you, you know. And so, you know, to be able to forgive and to forgive the person who did it to you, and also to be able to forgive yourself so that you can go on. We could break the curse if we just talk about it.
And you know,
but we gotta talk.
We gotta talk about it. And that, but where do we talk? And who do we talk to? Because it just seems like nobody wants to talk about this. You know, nobody wants to talk about molestation. Nobody wants to talk about it. How do we break the ice and even begin to talk about it?
I think what we have to do, and maybe with me going through the domestic violence program right now and trying to implement, not trying because my pastor's going to let me implement it into the church, but implementing it into the church, we have to find ways so that those of us who may have actually been through it and we want to be a help, me finding the sanctuary program was perfect for me because this is something I want to do. I started out just wanting to help women and not realizing that domestic abuse goes through so many different channels. So, you know, finding out that, you know, children, you know, through finding about child abuse and not, to me, I don't know why I didn't connect it, but it didn't connect for me, not the way that it did today. I know children in the house, I guess because we were dealing so much with women, it just didn't connect about the child abuse, but it connected for me today. And it made me realize, and I came home and I immediately talked to my son. Because everybody always assumes it's a girl thing, but no, boys get molested too. So
that's
I immediately came home and talked to my son, and they were talking about cyberbullying and sexting, and my son knew all this stuff. He's 10 years old.
Wow.
And he was like, oh, Mom, this happens a lot. This happens in school, you know, the girl shows her picture. And I mean, I was like, were you in my class today? Like, he was running it down like he had been in my class.
See, that's important because so often your son is 10, and so often we think we can't talk to our kids because they're too young and we don't want to broach this adult subject with them. But what we don't realize is that our children know more than almost as much as we do about what's going on in the sex world. You know, they know about sex because their little friends are talking about sex. And
they
doing,
can see it right on TV. They can see it on TV.
Right, exactly. And if you're like me, like my family, we prohibited our kids from watching R-rated movies, you know, but what we didn't realize is that it's in the cartoons. You know, they are picking stuff in everywhere that they can. And my husband and I, we're sitting, like I like Lifetime, so we'll be sitting on the couch watching a Lifetime movie, and my daughter, who's 13, might be watching with us. When that sex scene comes up, we know Lifetime can get a little racy. I got the remote, the channel's being turned for a few, a minute at least, get past that part, because we don't need to be watching that soft porn. You know, the thing about it, some people may say it's paranoia, but the thing about it is we do want to keep our children as innocent as we can, and if they're if it's going on outside the house, we just want to make sure that we're giving them the proper education that we need inside the house. We need to educate our and talk to our kids about molestation. Listen, there are child molesters out there. There are pedophiles out there. There are men and women out there that touch little kids, that want to have sex with little kids, and you be careful. That's something that you can tell your child, you know, and it's not an easy subject, but it's necessary. And like you said, you came home right away and started talking to your son.
Mm-hmm. I started talking because when they were talking about the sexting and the cyberbullying, I wanted to make sure that he wasn't going through anything like that, because I guess for me, and I should know better, but for me, I just, because he's always the same, like his demeanor, nothing ever changes, and that's why I always look at. I look at demeanor. Has his demeanor changed? Is he coming home from school sulking? And, you know, because with a boy, I look for more bullying-type situations than anything else. So when we were sitting there talking about it, and he knew about it, and he said, well, Mommy, is that why you won't give me a cell phone? And I was like, well, no, I don't give you a cell phone because I don't think you need one at 10, but it's good to know that you know what this stuff is. And then when he said a girl had committed suicide, I was like, wait a minute. My son's in elementary school. What girl committed suicide? I'm like, oh, my gosh. So it's like it shocked me, but then again, I'm like, this is going to make me even that much more vigilant to getting these different programs into the schools, because we can't wait till they get to high school.
Yeah.
We need to talk to them while they're in elementary. We need to talk to them when they're in fifth grade, before the hormones start to rage and before common sense seems to leave them, and give them some practical information, because if he's learning this and he's in the fifth grade, and like he said, oh, I know some eighth-grade girls. You know, it's like, come on, eighth grade? You 13, 14?
Yeah.
So, you know, it really, I was like, wow. But it's just amazing to me how much, and I said this to my husband the other night, as smart as our children are technically, that's as weak as they are when it comes to everything else.
Yeah.
They're very susceptible to everything else, because technically they may be geniuses, but they are not as wise to the things of the world as maybe we may have been, because they don't really deal with each other. They're on the internet. They're texting. They don't do a lot of face-to-face other than school.
Yeah.
So it's just wow. Yeah.
It is. Wow. I went to my daughter's school, and there was a couple that were late. I was dropping her off late, and there was a couple that were late. They were coming off the field, and she said, that couple is always somewhere in the corner kissing and hugging and stuff. And I'm like, she's in eighth grade. I'm like, what grade are they in? She's like, they're in eighth grade. And, you know, so much is going on in our schools that we as parents, because we don't get into the schools, are not aware of. And the thing about child molesters, a child is a prime target for molestation prior to the age of 13 down, from the age 13 down. Because once they become 14, 15, 16, they begin to develop more and they look more like adults. And the thing with a pedophile is that he does not, or she does not want an adult. They want a child. So they don't want somebody who's fully developed. They want something that looks like a woman or looks like a man. So they want to molest the 13-year-old, the 12-year-old, the 10-year-old. You know, they want to molest them going down the younger ages. That's the prime target, and that's information for us as parents to know. Not that our 13, 14, 15-year-olds are out of the woods, because now they're dealing with other things. Now you're dealing with older boys, 18-year-olds, you know, 20-year-olds looking at your 15-year-old daughter. So, and you're dealing with a whole bunch of other topics. But the thing is, for a molester, a child molester is normally 5 years or more older than the child that they molest. And the prime ages are 13 down for children to be molested, because they want those little pre-puberty children, you know. And is it something that we have to sound the alarm? You know, we have to sound the alarm. I was molested, and, you know, I found out that my 12-year-old, I mean, my daughter, she's 35 now, but I found out that she had been molested. And, you know, the thing about it is she was telling me about it a couple of weeks ago, and it broke my heart. I was like, oh, my God. You know, but I was a horrible parent back then. You have to take into account. I mean, I was on alcohol. I was on drugs. You know, I was out there looking for love in all the wrong places. I didn't have the Lord. You know, I wasn't paying attention. And all I'm saying is that we as parents have to pay attention. You know, we Christians, we're not on alcohol or drugs. We're not getting high. We're not getting drunk. We're not, you know, going from bed to bed and man to man or woman to woman at this rate, I hope. But we're going from conference to conference and church
right.
to church.
Church.
And our children are being left unattended. You see what I'm saying? Or we're dragging
yep.
them to church with us, and then they got to go to the bathroom. We might let them go to the bathroom by themselves. And there's a pedophile in the bathroom.
Right.
So at church.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. So, man, you know, we gotta talk about this stuff. We got to be aware. We got to wake up. We got to wake up. And pay attention to what's going on with our kids. So for those like you and me who still have young kids, you know, it's a battle to keep our kids safe.
It definitely
and
is. And it's sort of sad when you think of the children who don't have the parents who are vigilant, the children whose mother is out there using drugs or she's out doing her own thing, so she don't. If she's not there, or the father who's never around, and grandma's trying to take care of kids and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it leaves that child open.
Yeah, and you the child is open, the child is unprotected, and again, a prime candidate, prime target. That's a prime
right.
target. For the molester, that child that doesn't have the care or attention of a parent or two parents, you know, that child that is a little raggedy going to school, that child that's,
right.
that seems to be, you know, seems to be hurting somehow, they will befriend that child and take that child in and begin to perpetrate molestation upon that child. And it's crazy, man. But you know what? The devil is defeated, and we're going to talk about it. We're going to pray against it. We're going to expose it. We're going to educate folks until we stop molestation. We can stop it. Somebody said, how can we stop it? We can stop it by being informed, you know, and by informing others. Your child is at risk. You know, every child is at risk. Now, every child
yeah.
will not be molested, but every child is at risk because child molesters are everywhere. They're everywhere. Look at the news. Look at that, the sports world. Look at the church world. Who would have suspected some of the rumors to come out that have come out like they've come out in the church?
That's true.
With boys.
And that's what's odd, because I had boys. And I always, I have my one girl, but I always had boys. But I always felt that boys were sort of neglected when it came to abuse because boys don't talk.
Yeah.
Boys
yeah.
don't say anything. They could get molested, but they're not going to say anything because they don't want nobody to think that they're gay.
Yeah.
So they don't talk. As a girl will say something, especially if the person who molested them is a male, they will speak out a lot sooner than a boy would if their molester is a man. And if it's a female, a lot of times they just think, oh, she liked me. So
yeah.
we had sex.
Yeah. Oh, a boy. Yeah. Well, it's just crazy. Yeah. Right.
And we have to get really more informed of letting people know what the truth is, because that's not true. If you're 7-8 years old and some woman is approaching you, it's no different than if you're 7 and 8 and it's a man. It's the same thing. It's still a predator.
Yes.
And she may
yeah.
be pretty, she may be whatever, but she's still prying on you to use your body. And it is not right. And I've heard men say this. My own husband has said this when we were watching TV, and they talk about the little 13 and 12 year old boys who are having sex with the teacher who's like 20 years old, and they go, he took it as, you know, he was being macho. And I'm like, that's not macho though. I don't. If it was a girl, you wouldn't feel the same way.
That's right. That's molestation. Yeah.
Because she's a pretty teacher doesn't change the fact that she molested this boy. It would be no different if it was a handsome male gym teacher that molested the 13-year-old girl. It should be no different, but there is a difference. Because boys take it as if it's a female, oh, we had sex, it's no big deal. But if they get molested by a man, they feel shame.
Yeah, because their manhood is questioned.
It's been taken.
Females are molested by females, too, and that's another thing. That leads to this whole issue of homosexuality, where a lot of people who are gay today may have been molested when they were children, and then they now are questioning their sexuality. That they must be gay, because if they hadn't have been gay, this thing would not have happened to them. And that's a lie. That's another lie from the pit of hell. It's a lie.
Right.
And we have to, you know, just let children know, and even those who have been molested, that it's not your fault. You know, it's not your fault. I used to say I gave my virginity to a boy. When I was 12, I gave my virginity to this 19-year-old boy. This was my story. I wrote it in one of my books. I wrote it in The Cry of a Woman's Heart, Healing the Pain of the Past, Traveling the Road to Victorious Living. I wrote that I gave my virginity to this 19-year-old boy, but I didn't give my virginity to that boy. That boy was a man, and that man raped me.
Right.
On the bathroom floor in my girlfriend's apartment, our parents were out, and they said, don't let nobody in. And we let the boys in. We let these guys in. And he was in there. He had been messing with me for a while, catching me, twisting my arm, kissing me in the hallway on my way home from school. We lived in the project. And this particular night, he was kissing me and stuff in the bathroom, had me on the bathroom floor, and I told him no. I said, no. No, no. Next thing I know, I was in pain because he had raped me. And that is something that it just came back to me when I started dealing with this issue, Evangelist Cynthia. I did not see the truth of what really had happened. I felt bad and guilty because I thought I gave my virginity away to this boy. And this boy literally took it. He took it.
Right.
This man took it. And he could have gone to jail if I would have told my mother what had happened, but I told nobody and actually let myself believe that I was his girlfriend. You know, you're my girlfriend. We just can't tell nobody about it. And that's how he covered it up. He was able to get away with rape by messing with my young mind to get me to believe that this was okay. And I had no knowledge. You know, I wasn't covered. My father wasn't there. My mother was working two jobs. You know, I wasn't covered, but this is what happened. And if you talk to a lot of people, a lot of women, they'll share very similar
stories, yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And who would say that it's molestation until you know, you study to show yourself approved, and you say, wow, that's what really happened. I didn't give him anything. He took it. And it was wrong. And it wasn't my fault. I mean, it was my fault to let him in. But no means no. And to any woman out there listening who's been raped, who's been molested, you know, somebody took something and you told them no. Somebody went further than you wanted them to. No means no. You know, whether you put yourself in that situation or not, whether you were somewhere you shouldn't have been, no still means no. There's still a limit that person was allowed to go with your permission. Without your permission, he should have stopped or she should have stopped. And we have to recognize that we were raped, that we were molested. That wasn't our fault. And we need to stop carrying the shame. And back to the topic on today, we have to forgive. you know, you have to forgive. Evangeline Cynthia, I don't know if you were ever molested. I don't think I ever heard you say that you were or not, whether you were or not.
I was molested, but I was molested. My situation was is that I started dating a 19-year-old when I was 14.
Yeah.
I stayed with this man until I was 19, and we had two children. My mother and father didn't know how old he was because I never told them. Because I told them, he wouldn't have been in my life. But I never told them how old he was. They didn't find out until I was pregnant with my first child. That's when they found out how old he was. And by that time, we had been together for 2 years.
Yeah.
And at the time, I didn't see it as being molested. I just saw it as this older guy liked me. And, you know, we were having a relationship. I was his, like you said, I was his girlfriend. And not realizing that he's 19, he's out of height. What do you two have in common? At 19, why is he looking at a 14-year-old freshman?
Yes.
You know, so, I mean, as you get, when you get older and you know better, you'll do better. And the things that you may have seen in your own life, because as a girl whose father was a pedophile, I turned around and wind up being with a molester.
Yeah. Wow.
So I'm very big on breaking the cycle. That's why I was very honest with my children at very young ages. You know, I mean, they saw my father, then my father went away. Well, what happened to grandpa? I was very honest with my children what happened in a way of trying to break the cycle. I don't want my children to think that this type of behavior is something that you accept. It is not something that, if you came and told me, that I would say it's your fault. It is not acceptable behavior. And if somebody ever, and I just found out a few weeks ago that my daughter had told me that she had been molested.
Yeah, that hurts, right?
And it hurts because it's like, wait a minute, all the stuff that I tried to prevent, it wound up happening, and it wound up happening with one of her friend's brothers.
Yeah.
When they were younger. And I think people get a little twisted with that, too. It doesn't have to be an adult. It could be a child with a child.
An older child. Was it an older child?
It was an older child. He was like 2 or 3 years older than my daughter.
Yeah.
You know, so, and it was very painful to hear her tell it, but it was very freeing for her so that she could, she said, Mom, I didn't know how you would react. I remember what you said about Grandpa and your reaction when you found out about what your father had did. And, you know, she didn't know how I was going to react to this little boy, you know, because my thing was when I found out what my father had did to my sister, I went looking for the gun to shoot him.
Wow. Wow.
So, and I think my daughter, her mind thought, oh, my God, my mother's going to kill this boy. And that wouldn't have been my mindset, but that, you know. But I'm glad
she
let it out. She needed that.
Helped
she needed, right, it helped her.
Yeah. So how do you forgive? Now, how did you forgive your father and even this little boy that took advantage of your daughter and even your children's father that you were with for so many years. How do you forgive the molester? Let's help our audience, even in this last few minutes or 20 minutes. How do we forgive? How do we even begin the process? You talked about forgiveness being a process. How do we even begin to forgive?
I think, and I say this because I keep saying this, you have to want to be free. I wanted to be free. I was so angry for so many years at my father. I was so angry. And I had to want to be free. And you cannot get that, the blessing, the freedom in Christ that you want if you keep holding on. Because you have to get past what has happened. Because a lot of times what we're dealing with is the shame of it all. We're dealing with the embarrassment. We're dealing with the disrespect to the family. We're dealing with all those feelings. And when we learn to let that go and realize that I can't change what you did. You know, your sin is your sin and my sin is my sin. I can't carry your sin. I have to let your sin go in order for me to move on with my life. I got to move forward. And once I was able to forgive my father and let it go, I was able to forgive my son's father and let it go, I was a better person. I became a better mother, and I was able to move on with my life, and I was able to get closer to God. And then I had to learn to forgive myself from all the hurt feelings that I had towards my father, my mother, my sister who I thought should have told me, and my mother who I thought should have known what was going on in the house, and my father who disrespected everybody and destroyed the family. And, you know, you have to get past all that.
Yeah.
Because you need to let go. Because if you do not let go, you will carry that thing, and it will weigh you down, and you will become sick. You notice that you have a lot of diseases, a lot of deformities, a lot of weight on you that don't need to be there.
Yeah. The anger will eat you up like a canker worm. You know, you'll find yourself doing stuff, too, to try to medicate the pain. You know, that was something that I found that I was doing. I was, before I got saved, I was drinking, I was indulging in drugs, and I was in relationships. And then after I got saved, it was just anger because I stopped, you know, the Lord took away the drugs and the alcohol, and I was married to just one man, so I wasn't trading him in. So it was now just the anger, you know, just dealing with reality. It came crashing in on me because I didn't have anything now to blur the memory, so it wasn't blacked out anymore, and it came to my forefront of my mind that I had been molested, and that thing was hurting me. You know, I was angry. I was a mad black, angry black woman, just mad, just angry, mad at the world, and I had an edge, and you couldn't say anything to me without me just cutting you up, and I could look at you and cut you down just with a look.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord had to begin to heal me. But I want to tell you, and I just want to tell everybody listening, that it was only, now that I think about it, it was only when I began to forgive that I began to heal. You know, it was only when I heard the preacher say, you got to forgive. Jesus forgave, and you've been forgiven of all of your sins, and you must forgive. And then one day the Lord spoke to me, and he said to me, Rebecca, he said, you're angry. You're angry at so many people. Your father for leaving. You're angry at your mother. You're angry at your molester. You're angry at, you know, at all of these people that have hurt you in your life. And the Lord said to me, he said, they've done. Now you're angry, then you have to forgive. And I remember arguing with God and saying, but God, I can't forgive them. They don't deserve to be forgiven. Why should I forgive them? They hurt me. And I remember the Lord speaking to my spirit, and he said to me, you have done so many awful things in your life, yet I've forgiven you. Now who are you not to forgive those who have hurt you? And that thing hit me like a ton of brick. Like God, like Jesus shed his blood so that I could be forgiven. And here I was, I had been touched, had not shed any blood, but I was holding unforgiveness in my heart. And I made up my mind right then that I was going to forgive. I didn't know about all of this, that it was going to release me, that I was going to be free, but I knew that I didn't have a right to hold on to that anger anymore. And I had to let it go. I had to let it go. So I forgave. You know, I started saying, I forgive my father. I forgive my mother. I forgive my molester. I forgive my boyfriend who cheated on me with my cousin. I forgive my cousin for sleeping with my boyfriend. You know, I began to go down the list and forgive everybody. You know, I forgave everybody. And it was like I could feel chips of ice breaking away from my heart. All of a sudden, you know, I started to feel warm emotions instead of cold, bitter emotions. I started to feel love instead of hate and anger. And it was just like miraculous, man. It was like a miracle. What God did when I just began to forgive, how he moved in and healed me, it was a miracle. It was a miracle that I was able to forgive, and then I received total healing to the point where none of it doesn't hurt me anymore. And that's what I want to encourage everybody listening. Just let it go, you know, let it go so that it doesn't hurt you anymore. Like Evangelist Cynthia said earlier in the chat room, as long as you hold on to that anger, you're allowing that person to keep hurting you over and over and over and over again. So you have to forgive. You have to release. You have to let it go. And then forgive yourself. I think you talked about that, Evangelist Cynthia,
mm-hmm.
forgiving yourself.
Because I think a lot of people miss that part. They realize I have to forgive, but you also have to forgive yourself. Because if you don't learn that, there is a part of you that at some point thought that you deserve what happened. Or you are so angry that you can't get past that part. You have to let yourself learn to forgive yourself. A lot of times people don't forgive themselves and they don't understand why they stay angry for so long. And it's like because you haven't forgiven yourself. That person can walk past you. It don't even bother you. But then you find other ways to channel your anger, your hate. I was watching a TV program and it seemed like every single woman was angry. I was like, why are all these women so angry? I even asked my husband that last night. I said, you know what? Every single one of these programs, women are angry and screaming and yelling. And I said, you know what it is? We are so angry with ourselves that we take it out on everybody else. We find a reason to be mad at that sister. We find a reason to be mad at that man. We find a reason to be mad at our kids. We are so angry with ourselves. We are so ashamed of something that has happened to us. We are disappointed with maybe some of the decisions we made in our lives. We are so embarrassed. Whatever it is, we have bottled it down and then brought it back up as anger. And now we're raging at each other all the time. And we have to learn to forgive. Because once we learn to forgive ourselves, then those things that you did that you wish you hadn't done, you'll begin to realize that that was a tool of the devil to keep you down. He wants to keep you down. So if I keep you angry and feeling in self-pity and feeling ashamed of the things that you did or the things that other people have done to you, then cool, I still got you. Even though you may have forgiven the other person, I still got you because I still got your mind. And I'm in there talking about, you know, if you would have, you know you should have. See, if you had, and you're sitting there and you're feeding into it, and then something will come along and something will, as some people say, push a button. Somebody will say something to you, your button done got pushed, and so you yelling and screaming at this woman for no apparent reason because you're still angry and hurting yourself. So once you've learned to forgive yourself, that refreshing comes and you begin to feel the presence of God and you can begin the healing process. And so, like I said, it's not an overnight thing, but the refreshing happens immediately. Like you were talking about how you felt like I started breaking. It starts to break, but you got to be willing to be broken. You got to be willing to be broken. You got to be able to come to God. I preached on this the other week, that agape love. You have to come to God wide open. Everything has to be before him, the shame, the hurt, the pain, the molestation, the rape. Everything has to go before him so that he can heal you. He can't heal you if you keep certain things behind your back because he's not going to grab it from you. He wants you to offer it freely.
You
have to offer yourself freely to God for him to come in. And I think that's, and in the church, I was saying this because one sister, she came into our women's night, and she was so broken. By the time she left, she felt so much better because we come to church, and we smile, and we grin, and God bless you, but we're walking in hurt, and we leave out just as hurt as we came in the door.
Yes.
Don't nobody want to say nothing. I don't want to say, I ain't going to give my testimony. I'll talk about this, but I won't talk about that.
Yeah.
You know, I'll talk about that God delivered me and gave me a job, but I'm not going to talk about the fact that when I was 10 years old, I got raped by my uncle, and I'm still feeling the manifestations of that, and I'm 44 years old. We don't want to do that.
No, we don't. And we carry that pain so long, like a prized possession, and we mask it well, you know.
And we carry it like it's a bad. We have to learn to forgive. You're not going to cross heaven's doors like that. You're just really not.
I'm sorry. You said we carry it like it's a
badge
of honor.
A badge of honor.
Mm-hmm.
Being hurt. We have the martyr complex. You know, I got hurt more than you did. You know, and we can't, we got to let it go. Because we don't know who's sitting in that church that needs to hear that testimony.
Yeah, and we don't even have enough time to go into it. But, you know, we talk about this topic. It's not being talked about in the church, but it's not easy to do this on a Sunday morning because it's
mm-hmm.
time. You know, you have mm-hmm. your children there. You know, and you again, you don't want children to be exposed to too much. That's why we need women's groups. That's why we need women's conferences. We need women's ministry so that we can be naked and not ashamed, so we can say, I hurt, and we can show each other, we can begin to share with each other our victories. I don't want to say show each other our wounds, but show each other, share with each other our victories, and even show each other our hurt, our pain. Because unless we're able to show somebody, look, I'm hurting, they won't understand why we can't get along with anybody. You know, there's a stigma that women can't get along with each other. You know, that women mm-hmm. are always hating on each other, backbiting, and you know, just tearing each other down. But Evangelist Cynthia and Tina and Andrea, who's still on, are opening up your lives again. But I believe that that's a big part of the problem. Why women can't get along is because inside a lot of us are hurting, and we're scared to let anybody know that we're hurting, so we're not experiencing any healing. So I believe that if we could be honest with each other and begin to get healed with each other and cry with each other and share with each other and empower each other, then I believe that we can make some progress in our relationships with each other. And that's just my thought on that. And again, Evangelist Cynthia, you're opening. I open up Tina and Andrea too for this last couple of minutes of the broadcast. What do you think about that? Amen. I actually closed the line.
Oh.
So that was opening. Amen. I closed the line. Was anybody talking?
Yes.
Hello? Okay.
Yeah, you were talking. I'm sorry. You have to start over because I thought I opened the line, but I had closed it.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, yeah, I believe that's true, though. I think that we are, as women, we hurt so much because we tend to carry the whole family. And when we do that, we carry everything about the family. So when we're taught from a young age, don't tell the family business out in the street, and not realizing we're just carrying more and more pain, more and more shame, the secrets and everything else. And when we get older, we just rage.
Yeah.
We constantly rage, and you see it on TV all the time with these desperate housewives and all this other stuff, and everybody's catfighting and yelling and screaming. We're raging because we're so hurt. Money doesn't make you happy, and that's proven every day. Money is not making you happy because you're raising just as much as the girls that live in the projects. So obviously the money isn't helping you. There's an inner pain that needs to be taken care of.
And then why are we so angry at each other? I think the reason that we get so angry at each other too is because we think that nobody has been through this but us. You know, we're mad, like, why did this happen to me and it didn't happen to her? You know, and when we would just talk it out, we would realize that all of us have been through something or we're going through something that has hurt us or that's hurting us.
Hello.
Yes.
Pastor Rebecca. Yeah, no, it's me. I was listening to what she was saying. Evangelist Cynthia Robinson was saying, and was just right on point just now. And then when she was talking about, in general, about forgiveness, and when she began to talk about forgiving yourself, Andrew and I just, I guess we had an epitome. Epiphany, that's what I meant to say. Just in general, that, you know, sometimes we don't forgive ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We never sometimes don't cross our mind. We put it off, but we don't forgive ourselves, but we're still carrying it. But even though we're still carrying it, certain triggers are still having us to act a certain way because we have not forgiven ourselves for whatever situation.
Wow. Wow. So would you agree that forgiveness is, I think I saw it earlier in the chat room, it's a release.
You know, Pastor, this is Andrea again.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with you. It is a release because you know what happens is that it never crosses our mind to forgive ourselves. When you asked me did I forgive my molester, you know, I said maybe subconsciously I did, but it never crossed my mind to forgive myself and say it's okay, you were a child.
Hey,
you're not at fault, you know, like you said, but to forgive yourself for being in that situation because you didn't do it to yourself. And we don't think about that. But that, I mean, Tina and I were sitting here listening, and thank you to the other pastor, that I, evangelist, that I have to say it never crossed my mind to say, Angie, I forgive you.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
Tina and I, well, we looked at each other, and tears came out of both our eyes because it just didn't cross our mind. I thought that was so powerful, and I want to thank her for bringing that to my attention because it never crossed my mind to say it's okay for me.
Mm.
That you're forgiven, Angie. That I say to myself and mean it and take it in. So I want to thank her for that because that was definitely an epiphany and it changed everything for me. It changed my view just that quick.
Mm.
I want to thank her for that. Tina's in here about
wow.
to break down. Let me give it back to you. Hold on.
Wow. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. That was it. That's the moment we've been waiting for. Wow. Amen. Evangelist Cynthia?
I'm right now just sitting here like, wow. Wow.
That was powerful. I appreciate that. You don't know what you're talking
about.
Yeah, I feel God right now. Amen. That was powerful. Mm. Give ourselves. And what you said, Andrea, was so powerful, too, that you brought it home. I forgive you. It's all right, Andrea. It was not your fault because you were
right.
a child.
Yep.
Oh,
my God. You know, I'm a
child.
I don't go wrong with that and spread the words that every friend I have that I know have endured so much because we always talk about forgiveness, but we never, ever, and I mean it, say, we have never said it to one another to forgive ourselves. So
yeah.
I'm going to take something wrong with it because, I mean, I'm going to spread that because that's too powerful to keep to yourself and just
that's
leave
good.
On the station because it needs to be shared.
Yeah.
So thank you again.
Yeah, that's good.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Because yes,
God gave me that. God gave me that. I've been saying it now for about 2 years now, to learn to forgive yourself. There's no greater freedom, there's no greater deliverance than learning to forgive yourself because it was not you.
Exactly. And, you know, we keep talking about forgiving others, but we never, ever say it. I mean, we tell people you have to forgive them because, you know, forgive them, you know. And I'm not just talking about malice, I'm talking about everything. You know, when
right.
someone does it wrong in any form, we always say, just forgive, you can't hold on to that. But the truth is, that forgiveness works both ways, and we have to remember that and to forgive ourselves for acting the way we did.
You know,
whether it's with anger, you know, or what have you. We need to remember that. And that was, like I said, they're both powerful messages that need to go out to everyone you know. So whether we're on this station alone, just a few of us that are here or the many of us that are here, we need to pass that along because that is definitely a powerful statement that needs to be shared. So, I mean, even if it's in text messages that go through, it needs to go out. It needs to go out
forgive
tonight.
I receive that. We receive that. And then with that, I want to encourage everybody. This is going to be posted on my Facebook. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons. Connect with me on Facebook. We do have a few people in the chat room and a couple people on the phone lines. The hour is elite, but this message I'm getting about 13,000 listens last year. And I'm going over the top this year. I'm going over the top. I encourage everybody to spread this archive, you know, spread it around, put it posted on your page, tell people about it. And even if you don't do that, tell somebody that you know that's been through something to go ahead and forgive themselves. You know, we like Andrea said, we often talk about forgiving other people, but we have to learn how to forgive ourselves and to receive God's forgiveness over our lives, to forgive ourselves. That is just so powerful. And for those of you who are healing, I recommend my book, The Cry of a Woman's Heart, Healing the Pain of the Past, Traveling the Road to Victorious Living, a powerful, powerful book. And it has that same message in it, too, that you got to receive God's forgiveness, forgive your perpetrator, and forgive yourself. And it's a message that changes lives, just like when Evangelist Cynthia Anderson said it tonight, and Tina and Andrea said they got an epiphany right there in the car that they had to forgive themselves. And Andrea said it so nicely. The way she put it was so eloquent. It's all right. It's all right. You were a child. It was not your fault. Go ahead and forgive yourself. That's it. That's worth this whole night. That is worth this whole night for us to be here and to talk this thing out and get to the power of forgiveness. And we only have 5 minutes. I'm going to just close it out because I do want to be obedient to the time, and I do have a husband. So, any closing remarks, Tina, Andrea, Evangelist, Kimmy still in the chat room. She's quiet. Kimmy, I pray that you're being blessed. I know that you are our guest, 10181. You've been with us all night. I pray that this broadcast has blessed you on tonight also, and that you're receiving your deliverance. So, ladies, as we go off the air, any closing remarks?
Oh, I just say thank you.
Amen.
Amen. And I want to say thank you. This has been a powerful show. I'm glad that Andrea had the opportunity to listen to the show this evening, to share a testimony that I've never heard before, and I've been knowing her for many years. So I said, my God, I'm sitting here like I'm in shock. I'm like, okay, my God. And she's sharing and she's talking. So I thank you for having a show, a broadcast such as this, that a person will listen and be able to release some things that they maybe had not spoken about, or just get an epiphany of how to move on now. So that's a blessing. And so Evangelist Cynthia Robinson, I thank her for calling in and just giving us that information and talking about her testimony and just giving us some words on forgiveness. That was a blessing.
Yeah.
And Evangelist, if you can, if you have opportunity, I think we are friends on Facebook, Tina L. Lane. Can you send me information about the domestic violence program that you attended tonight? You don't mind.
Oh, okay.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Amen. Evangelist Cynthia?
I give God glory. You don't realize it, Pastor Rebecca, but when you had said I had lost, well, that was offline, but where I had, in a sense, seriously lost my zeal for God, I honestly fell on my face, got back into what I was supposed to be doing for God, got back on track. And ever since then, God has really been using me, so I'm going to stick where I know I'm supposed to be. And I'm going to keep speaking those things that maybe people don't want to hear, but I know it's breakthrough. Because we need breakthrough.
Yes.
We need breakthrough. I'm going to keep doing it.
Amen. Amen.
So I'm grateful for you, and I'm grateful for Tina and Andrea and Kimmy Poo and everybody in the chat room. And I'm just grateful. I will try to always be here because I get out of class at like 9, so I rush home and try to listen to your show. So I will be here every week as possible to talk about abuse, because if we don't talk about it, ain't nobody going to say nothing.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I think it's good to have some company, because I know Tina comes in almost every week, and I see you in the chat room. I see Kimmy Poole. It's good to have people here. I'm trying to change the hour, but we're going to see what God says. You know, if he wants us to keep it at this time, we will. But I'll let you guys know. I'll keep you posted. I'm going to try 9:30 next week just to see how it runs. But I'll still be here for 2 hours, so we'll be here until at least 11:30. But I want to, just before we go off the air, I just want to pray. I want to thank God for you and your obedience and in doing what he told you to do. and thank God for Tina and thank God for Andrea. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you. We magnify your name. Lord, we thank you for this time that you have allowed us to be together. Lord, I thank you for Kimmy Poo. I thank you for our guests in the chat room. I thank you for Evangelist Cynthia, for Sister Tina, for Andrea, oh God. I thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done with us here on this broadcast on tonight, Lord. Thank you for every woman, every man that is listening, that has listened, that will listen to the archives. And Lord, we thank you for breakthrough, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for destroying yokes on tonight, God. Even now, Lord, in the area of forgiveness, Lord, help us to forgive those who have hurt us, oh God, even as you have forgiven us of our trespasses. And Lord, most of all, help us to forgive ourselves. Oh, God, we just thank you for that divine revelation to reveal by Evangelist Cynthia on tonight, oh, God, the power of forgiving yourself, oh, Lord. So, Lord, I just pray for Andrea, and I pray for Tina, I pray for Evangelist Cynthia, pray for Kimmy Poole, I pray for our guests in the chat room. I pray, Father God, for everybody listening who has been hurt, who has been molested, who has been rejected, who has been neglected, abandoned, oh, God, and hurt in any form or fashion, oh, God. And I pray for total healing, oh, God. Let your hand of healing rest upon them right now in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we just thank you and we praise you, oh, God, ha. Oh, God, even as you lay your hands upon us, oh, God, that you are giving us total healing, oh, God, in our lives. So I speak healing over the life of every woman, every man, every boy, every girl under the sound of my voice, oh, God. And I declare them healed in Jesus' name. By your stripes, we are healed. We are made whole through our faith, oh, God. So we're moving forward in victory, oh, God, knowing that you have a mission for us, Lord, and we're going to spread the word, oh, God, that you don't have to hurt, but if you just forgive yourself, you can begin to be healed, and if you forgive others. So, Lord, we just thank you and we praise you for this broadcast. And, Lord, we ask that you continue to have your way. Even as we go down from this place, we give ourselves away to you, oh, God, and say, use us, use us, use us, use us for your glory. And we say, we thank you and we praise you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. My God, well, praise the Lord, ladies. God bless you all. And we're going to be going off the air. And I say God bless you to all of you on the phone lines and to all of you in the chat room. God bless you.
God bless you. God bless you.
God bless you.
Amen. Amen. And meet me right here. I'll be here on Saturday at 1 o'clock p.m. for the Women to Women broadcast. And again on next Tuesday at 9:30 p.m. For the Destined for Victory broadcast, where we'll be talking some more about molestation and healing from the impact of molestation. You can visit us at our church with New Creation Christian Ministries at 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey. Our service time is 11 o'clock a.m. I'll be preaching this Sunday. And if you come over, I'll be glad to see you. We're going to go off the air with Pastor Alicia Cooper and gratitude. We're grateful for all God has done on tonight. God bless you, ladies. Good night. And God bless you to everybody listening. Go in peace and serve the Lord. I'm grateful.
Live a life of victory.